The mayor of Kharkiv says the city has lost electricity and water supplies for a second time in the past 24 hours. Ukraine accuses Russia of attacking a power station that led to blackouts in several areas on Sunday night. Emergency services had managed to restore 80% of it during the day, but the second largest city is still without power. Hannah Schillest is the Security Studies Director at the think tank Ukrainian PRISM, and she joins us now from Athens. Thanks very much for being with us. First of all, could you just give us an idea of what's actually happening on these rapidly shifting front lines of this Ukrainian counteroffensive?
Surely. For the last 2 weeks, everybody been expecting for the huge counteroffensive on the south to liberate the city of Kherson, because most of the long-range missiles that Ukraine just received from our partners being used against the ammunition stockpiles there. However, the Ukrainian armed forces started the counteroffensive on the north, and that is fantastic even from our perspective, that within the 3 days they managed to recapture, to liberate approximately 2,000 square kilometers in the Kharkiv region, just at the border with the Russian Federation. Those territories that the Russian armed forces have been trying to take for approximately 2 months as spring this year. So as for now, we see that the fighting is continuing, and we see several tendencies. First of all, that the Russian armed forces are retreating. It's not withdrawal or regrouping as announced in their moves. Why it is retreating? Because they are leaving behind them a huge number of the ammunition, a huge number of the heavy weapons, and we now in real time almost can follow the photos and videos from those territories that they left. But also we have a huge number of those Russian armed forces who surrendered, and now we have plenty of prisoners of war, not one, two, but we are talking about hundreds and hundreds of soldiers who just didn't want to fight, or those who were left without the command, because we have more and more news that the Russian leadership were leaving the territories while the soldiers were left by their own over there. On the south, as you said, the situation is much slower. The reason is that Ukraine was not starting a full-fledged operation or something like this. So it is more of the positioning wars, the attempts to take the better position, but to have two big battles, neither Russia nor Ukraine are capable as for now.
They are rapidly taking land in the northeast, but as we've seen from the Russian example, holding that land is very different. Is there enough, are there enough forces? Is there enough strength to do that? Are they capable that the gains they're making they can maintain?
I would say that there are three things that we need to take into account. First of all is how locals are greeting Ukrainian armed forces. So that is really calling for the liberation, and these people will be happy to assist both the administration and the military to stay longer at this territory. The second issue is that if Russians would be able to fight, they will fight. We know now about some villages on the northeast that they were left even without any fight, and locals were putting the Ukrainian flag by themselves, not waiting for the military. So we see that it is quite a low level of the desire to fight for these territories from the Russian side. And point number three is that if they will be able, if they are ready to fight, they would not target the critical infrastructure of the civilian objects. That's what happened, you said, about Kharkiv. But yesterday, the attack against the electrical stations happened not only in Kharkiv, but also in Dnipro, Sumy, and Poltava, three other cities. And you understand that if you are, as the fighter, as the armed forces, are capable to fight and ready to fight for these territories, you will fight at that cities. You would not start immediately, just in a few hours, to target the civilian objects to make as painful as possible for the people of Ukraine.
But the Russians, in bombing these power stations, especially the one in Kharkiv, they're showing that they've still got the strength. They're still a major, major force to be reckoned with, aren't they?
I would not name them anymore the second mighty army, as they tried to make their image. And we already saw it both from their capabilities, from their ability to fight, and from definitely the outdated equipment that is not working as they were promoting it. Another question is that definitely they still have quite a number of the long-range missiles. They are already not using the newest sophisticated because there are a few of them left, but they have a lot of the Soviet-dated, like S-300, that they are using not against the airplanes that they should, but against the civilian objects. So yes, Ukraine is not so euphoric. We are very, it's not only pragmatic, but let's say realistic. We understand what Russia can do. But at the same time, when we are pushing them out of the Ukrainian territory, that means that they have less possibility to target with the artillery the cities like Kharkiv. Because some of those villages that have been liberated within the last week, that is exactly when the Russian forces stationed their artillery and how they targeted the residential areas of Kharkiv. So now the Russians will need to use a long-range missile from the Russian territory. And that is the capabilities that they are losing with each day.
Hannah Schlest, great to get your insights there on the situation happening in the east of Ukraine. Thanks very much.